Lexicon. Providence is the word we use to describe God's preserving, upholding, and governing of His creation. God sustains His creation day to day through ordinary means established at the beginning of time, and He intervenes in miraculous ways. In all things, God is working for His glory and for the good of those who love Him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Cutting Edge, Cool, Contemporary, Clearly, and Hip, Wretched Radio, bringing you the latest Christian celebrity infotainment news. How do we do that? Well, we take a story that's being widely disseminated, slap a Bible verse on it, so that we can say we're not gossiping. You know, like most contemporary Christian music morning shows. This is Wretched Radio. Can you hear the skid marks being drawn? That would be my heels, because so I'm going to, at the risk of violating the very thing that is causing me to wrestle with the subject, going to share with you why I'm so hesitant to talk about a widely disseminated story in contemporary Christian music. And it's because I don't want to traffic in gossip. That's all. We get hit by so many stories these days, don't we? Courtesy of social media, you get bombarded by it. We all do. You can't help it. You know, you just want to go to like the Christian website to find some news, like what's going on in the church? How are my brothers and sisters doing overseas? Now, what's happening with legislation? You want to like keep up to speed, and you get hit by this guy who's famous did that. And my first question needs to be, is this any of my business? We used to call them gossip rags. I don't know what they call them now at the grocery store, where the gossip about the celebrity, they did this, they were seen with this person, they are bankrupt or whatever. And the first thing that I need to ask is this any of my business? And with a Hollywood celebrity, the answer is probably 99% of the time, it has nothing to do with me. You say, well, what might be the 1%? I say it might be that the individual is invoking the name of Jesus Christ in some way. And therefore, it might be of interest to me. Might. But in most instances, it's not. And so I approach these stories. I just, it's like, okay, I got to ask this because I automatically assume it is my business because, well, the world does revolve around my thinking and my opinion. So I think, yeah, I've got something to say about this. Hold on, not so fast. So I'm hesitating to even talk about this story. Is it any of my business? Another discernment question is it widely disseminated? Because if it is not, I don't have a Lifeway statistic to back this statement up, but most likely you are participating in gossip. Hey, did you hear about the chances are I am doing nothing but spreading the bad news because it doesn't have anything to do with me. Perhaps, maybe it does. But if people don't know about it, if I go about the business of saying, psst, have you heard? Then what am I doing? I'm a gossip rag. Because there's no point, there's no purpose, there's nothing redemptive in it. And so I'm participating in gossip. So my heels are like, furthermore, this is one of those subjects that's rather easy to just hack on somebody. To just really see, this is the problem with contemporary Christian music. And here's a guy that, and it's like, it's not my business. It should be a local church issue. But am I engaging in the subject in a way that is redemptive? Am I doing it in a way that it's like, this really is for the sake of saying something good. So I will share with you now the story, only because I believe it's widely disseminated. So we're talking about this story, not to talk about the story per se, but to talk about talking about stories like this. That's right. You heard what I just said. We're talking about stories, whether we should talk about them or not. The lead singer for Newsboys, 59 years old, it's been revealed that for the last 20 years, by his own confession, has been, sounds like he was a drinker, heavy drinker, cocaine, and just to be sanitized, was doing inappropriate things with young men on the tour bus. Okay, that's the story. Is that easy for our flesh to just jump onto? Yeah, of course it is. It's got all the salacious details. And I don't want to do that. Because if I can engage in a story because it is something that could be redemptive and helpful, furthermore, does it add something new to the conversation? So for instance, with this particular story, if I've already read in 10 different places what I'm about to say, I don't need to say it. It's been said. I don't need to dish on it any further. Can you hear what my heels are like? So why am I even talking about it at all? Well, first of all, it is a widely disseminated story. And I do believe that there are some aspects of the story that could be redemptive and helpful. This is a man who was singing Christian music, for better or for worse, whatever your opinion of the Newsboys' music is. Living on the inside, roaring like a lion, comes to mind. But he was fronting a band that was touring as a Christian band in the contemporary Christian music industry. And by the way, here's an exit ramp we shouldn't take. It crossed my mind as I was speaking, and I've seen people talking about this. What did the band know? And the answer is, I don't know. And it's none of my business. And what does it have to do with me? So I just want to drive right by that exit ramp opportunity and just stay focused on trying to be redemptive with this. And I think that there are redemptive aspects that can be discussed in this context, because I think that there are a lot of people who are in a similar, not exact, but a similar type of boat. And that is the individual who has ongoing sin in their life and they're professing to be a Christian. This guy's fronting a Christian band for 20 years and acting like that. And he said flat out, a phony. Double life, I'm this, then I'm that. Okay, what do we do with that? I don't want to talk about that guy because I don't have that guy in front of me to talk to and ask some questions. But I think that principally, we could ask some questions like, can a Christian spend 20 years living like that, professing to be a spokesperson for Jesus Christ and be a genuine convert? That's a good conversation to have. Now, where it gets dicey is where if we focus on this guy, and I say that because he came out with a statement. Jimmy, did you read the statement that this fellow put out?
No, I didn't.
I'm just going to tell you my assessment of the statement. This is not a judgment on true, false, fabricated, exaggerated defense. I'm just saying this was probably, and by the way, I'm not saying this is going to tip my hand about the aforementioned conversation about true and false converts. But I read this statement and it's lengthy. It's probably the best confessional statement I've ever read from a fallen Christian. That shocked me. He said things, I'll just paraphrase it. Well, no, I'm going to read it for you. Because this did strike me to say, maybe it's helpful to talk through these issues. What does genuine repentance look like? There's another aspect of the conversation. Not to hack on this guy, but what does it look like to be a genuinely repentant individual? These are important questions because I know people are wrestling with it. They're struggling with this so much. All right, so this is nearing, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 paragraphs. This is paragraph number 6. To the extent my sinful behavior, he used the word sin, has caused anyone to lose respect or faith or trust in me, I understand, deserve, and accept that. Okay. And by the way, sorry, the first paragraph, he basically said, look, I could argue with a this or that detail, but generally, the accusations are accurate. While I might dispute certain details in the accusations against me, I do not dispute the substance of them. Okay, that's a mark of a repentant individual. I am not going to defend myself. Here's another mark. And please, I'm not making a judgment on this. We're trying to use this to be helpful for all of us. To the extent my sinful behavior has caused anyone to lose respect for me, I deserve it. But it crushes me to think that someone would lose or choose not to pursue faith and trust in Jesus because I've been a horrible representative of him, for he alone is ultimately the only hope for any of us. Whoa. Whoa. King David's prayer of repentance has been my prayer. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly of my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions. And my sin is ever before me. Create in me a new heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Well, that sounds like a repentant individual. And there is something that I think is important that could be helpful for more people inside of evangelicalism than you think. And I'm trying to be careful. I'm not trying to judge this guy. We're trying to use this to be helpful. Is this guy saved? When was this guy saved? Was he saved when he was doing this for 2 decades? Next on Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know that moment when you're scrolling through your news feed on social media and everything just feels upside down? Yeah, that's the culture we're living in right now. But you know what gets me excited? At Fortis Institute, we're not just watching on the sidelines. We've assembled a team of incredible voices who are diving deep into God's Word every single day. I'm talking about Dr. John Crotts helping you integrate theology into real life, or Dr. Adam Tyson, who is speaking truth into young men's hearts, or Pastor Brad Bigney transforming marriages from surviving to thriving. But here's the thing, while we're standing strong, that's what Fortis means, by the way, we need gospel partners who'll stand with us. People who will look at the culture and say, you know what? The church needs more than just encouragement. It needs equipping. We're not starting something new at Fortis. We're strengthening something vital. And so if you're ready to join us in this mission, if you're ready to help us equip believers with truth that transforms, then head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends, all the stuff that doesn't matter. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Because it can. Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Picture this, 7 new pieces of content every single day. And I'm not talking clickbait or gossip. I'm talking real truth for real life. The app is already full of hundreds of hours of content. Again, completely free. And when I say free, I mean free. I don't mean hidden costs and temporary trials and premium tiers. No subscription traps at all. Because while everyone else all over the world is selling you something, we are giving something away. Fortis Plus. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life. Truth. It's meant to travel far. It's meant to reach deep. It's meant to change lives. But for far too long, even the best biblical teaching has faced barriers, paywalls, price tags, limited access. And at Fortis Institute, well, we've been thinking differently recently. What if we could break through all of those barriers? That's why we're launching our Truth Unhindered initiative. We have extraordinary plans for the end of 2025, plans that will transform how pastors and families and seekers access life-changing teaching. But to make this vision a reality, we need you now more than ever. Right now, going on through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled up to $250,000. Double the impact, double the reach, double the transformation. Visit fortisinstitute.org/truth today, because when truth breaks through barriers, lives are never the same. fortisinstitute.org/truth.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teaches us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the true vine. The Old Testament describes Israel as a vine planted in the desert. Jesus is the true vine, and those who trust in him are grafted in to receive life and nourishment from Christ.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Should we even be talking about this at all? This is Wretched Radio, the Newsboys lead singer. It's been a headline story now for a couple of weeks. He has now recently come out with a confession, which was very transparent. The accusations are true. Getting drunk a lot, doing cocaine, and being I don't even know what you call it, what he was doing with young men on the tour bus, whatever that's called. He admitted, yeah, I've been doing it. And it was initially to me just, okay, well, here's a guy who professed to be a Christian, but clearly wasn't living like one. And so my theological framework says, at least according to 1 John, if you continue in sin, you're of the devil. Well, this guy was continuing in sin. But then, so I was just going to like let it pass. This is none of my beeswax. I got nothing interesting to say or helpful to say about this subject. But then I read his confession. Thanks, Bart, for sending this to me. And it was better than I think any confession of a celebrity Christian who has fallen that I've ever read. Now, it doesn't mean that others weren't genuine. I'm just saying it's like he kind of hit all the right notes. I am ashamed. I've deceived family, friends. I've misled my bandmates. I was living two distinctly different lives. I was not the same person on stage as I was off. It's like, wow. And he called it sin and his broken heart. Not that he's being besmirched, but that the name of Jesus is receiving ill repute because of him. That's like a repentant story. So I'm thinking, okay, so my theological grid says, I don't know how somebody can live in that type of sin for 20 years. But this confession is so good. So what do I do with that? Well, I think we use it to simply talk in more generalities because I don't know this guy. I don't know who it is. And I think that this is the note. I think there's two notes, but this is the first note that I think can be helpful. The question is not, when were you saved? It's not the important question. It's not an irrelevant question, but it's not the important question. The important question is, are you saved right now? The way this guy is talking, and this is all we have, I don't have interaction with him. I'm not a member of his church. I'm not his pastor. But based on this thing, you could look at this and go, this could be a saved man. Now, time is going to reveal it. And I think that's fair to say, well, let's just give it some time because you never know what's going on inside the heart of a man. And time typically reveals the root that is actually inside of the heart. But you could look at this and say, and we want this, we want this guy to be saved, right? Right? And he might not even know when he was saved. But in reading this, he talks about how he has spent so much time grieving over his sin. He wrote, sin is a terrible thing, taking us where we don't want to go, keeping us longer than we want to stay and costing us more than we want to pay. I accept the consequences of my sin and am committed to continuing the hard work of repentance. Okay, this sounds like the confession of a man who is saved. And he might say, well, I was saved. I was just being kind of prodigal. I was a little bit wayward. I'm more inclined to think somebody who has been living in an unrepentant lifestyle of sin, although I don't know what his struggles were. I don't know what he was going through and all this. I don't know how regular these activities were. It doesn't make sense, but it appears he could be saved now. And that's the important thing. If you happen to be like this guy, because you wonder about your conversion experience, you're battling still with ongoing sin, that besetting sin. It's like, is this lust ever going to stop? But that's a separate subject. But this is specifically, you're questioning your salvation. Was I saved then? Was I actually born again and living like that? I think you should figure that out later. What you should determine today is, am I saved right now? And just settle and rest there and just let that be. And don't worry about were you saved back then. Make sure that your calling and election is sure today. Make sure that you're a genuine born-again Christian now. And if it turns out with some introspection, some time, and some wisdom from other godly people that you discover you were or weren't saved back in 1987 or whatever, okay. But that doesn't matter as much as, are you saved now? And that's why I thought maybe that could be one of the helpful notes of this story from the lead singer of Newsboys. And perhaps it can be something that just gives you a little bit of peace. If you've been fretting and churning about the issue, was I saved then? You know, am I still a false convert? Are you saved today? That is the question. Where is this guy at? I don't know. But I hope it could have been that this guy was a false convert pretending, and he's actually saved now. I don't know. I have a difficult time. I'm just telling you. I have a difficult time of hearing somebody who's been living a lifestyle of sin like that for two decades, and singing and preaching past their own consciences. I have a hard time imagining that 1 John doesn't apply. If you continue in sin, you're of the devil. All right, but I don't get to talk to the guy. I don't know. None of my business. Is this confession the confession of a saved person? Yeah, it sounds like it, doesn't it? So could it be that the guy now somewhere between today and the last several months actually got saved? And the answer is, I sure hope so. Don't you? But that brings us to what I think can be a second helpful note. And it's connected to the first note. When was the guy saved? Is he saved? Now, let's just say for a second that he was not saved, okay? He wasn't saved. How deceived was he? Let's say that he was saved and he was living an unrepentant lifestyle of sin, maybe experiencing some sort of Esau and Judas-like repentance, having a worldly sorrow, but not a grieved sorrow that I've sinned against my God, against him and him only have I sinned. And that this guy was a professor who thought that he was saved, but actually wasn't. What does that teach us? And this is something that we would all benefit from this story. Sin. Lies. And this story should scare us. Whether the guy was saved 30 years ago, growing up in church, he talks about growing up in church with his folks. I don't know. Because either way, whether he was a false convert, and again, I struggle with that he was living a duplicitous life and was simply deceived as a believer. I struggle with that. I'm hoping that the guy is saved right now. They both instruct me. Sin fooled the guy. Either way, the guy's going up on stage singing about Jesus, having people jump around, and probably writing Bible verses with his signature. And he wasn't. And sin had tricked him for 20 years. Deceived him. So whether the guy was saved or not, or when did he get saved, or maybe he got saved, you know, a year ago and this has become so grievous, so heavy to him, he couldn't bear it anymore, so he quit the band. I don't know, but I do know this. Either way, the dude was deceived by sin. He even rightly said so. Didn't he? I just read it. Sin is a deceiver. Sin is a terrible thing, taking us where we don't want to go, keeping us longer than we want to stay, and costing us more than we want to pay. Because it lies, it lies, it lies. And we all should make sure that we are not being deceived by the deceitfulness of sin. It is so much more powerful than we believe. And haven't we seen that? We've seen other professing believers take a tumble and it's like, what? That guy fell? How could that happen? And again, you can sit there and, you know, hopefully in a helpful way, consider, well, when did salvation take place for that person? Could that person have been saved? And we can have that conversation carefully. But what we can conclude ultimately is, whoa, the dude was tricked. The dude was deceived. It's that powerful. And we need to be aware of it. And so that should raise some questions for us. Okay, if sin is that tricky, if any of us can be deceived by it, and any of us can be deceived by it, How do I know I'm not being deceived? That's a good question. And I think that the answer for that, not in totality, but in part, can only be answered in the context of the local church, where you are living a life of transparency, where you could at church hand your cell phone to anybody there and say, take a look, please. Go ahead and search through my stuff, because I want to make sure I am not being deceived by the deceitfulness of sin. I think that this, if nothing else, maybe this is the third note. Oh, please be involved in a local church. You're in danger. Seriously, you are in danger. I wonder if this guy was a serving member of a local church. Don't know, but I do know we're supposed to be. And if we're not, we are out there, and as vulnerable as this dude is, we need each other. We need to be one another, and we need to be rebuking, correcting, and we need to be transparent with one another, because if not, you too could be deceived by the deceitfulness of sin. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.